The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looked like he... That may have been the most Jen, Gabe, and Chewy segment we've ever done on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Give us your score prediction and sound effects only. Inspired, of course, by the one and only Mark Chmura. Chewy, what's your sound effect? And he gave us two sound effects. Or what's your score prediction? He gave us two sound effects. And we thought, you know what? I could do that. Let's play. You have your sound effects and you want to call in 800-990-3776. That's the Carbless talk and text line. You can give us your sound effects. To recap, mine was two. We got a question for you guys, and I believe Homer inspired this. Last night, Homer put a poll up on his show saying, which member of the Green Bay Packers do you trust the most? The options are Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, Jordan Love, Jeff Hafley. And I haven't seen the updated results on the poll. Gabe, do you have those, the updated results on the poll that Homer put out yesterday about who do you trust the most, Goody, LaFleur, Love, or Hafley?
Yeah, it's not even close. Not even close.
Chew, you want to give a guess? Who do you think is running away with this?
Gabe told me.
Ah, darn.
Gabe told me at the beginning of the show.
Well, I thought maybe you forgot.
Which I don't agree with at all now.
So right now on the Homer poll, you can still vote for it if you'd like at the Homer Hour on Twitter. 54% of people say Brian Gutekunst. So that's not even close. Second place is Matt LaFleur at 25.5%, and then currently Love and Hafley are tied with just over 10%.
Hmm. So we see a lot of reaction here on the Carbless Talk and Text line. We see a lot of reaction in the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube stream. And every day, without fail, I see people criticizing Brian Gutekunst. I see people saying, when are y'all going to go in on Brian Gutekunst? When are you going to hold him accountable for some of the bad drafts that he has had? And sometimes we take the bait. Sometimes we have conversations about, well, what is a hit rate? What is a success rate for a general manager in the NFL? You know, how often does he have to hit on a pick? Do the first round picks weigh more than the third round picks? Do the third round picks weigh more than the sixth round picks when a lot of these rosters are built by late round picks? And so we never really get too far into it because, again, the Packers are a good team. And the only reason that they are a good team is because Brian Gutekunst is giving Matt LaFleur ingredients and Jeff Hafley ingredients to be a good team. The criticism, of course, guys, is they're not a great team. That's the distinction. Mm-hmm. And we were having a conversation this morning, too, about the age of the roster and how the Packers are once again the youngest team in the league. But the Eagles are the eighth youngest team in the league. And the Chargers are the fifth youngest team in the league. And not only are those two playoff teams, but the Eagles are the number one seed. No, not the number one seed. Obviously, we know that thank you very much. The number two seed. That game did happen last Sunday. The Lions did win last Sunday. So anyway, the point is, Brian Gutekunst having 54% of the votes in who do you trust the most, to me, says that the trust level of the other guys is tanking. That's what it says to me. I don't think that necessarily the people are like, oh, Brian Gutekunst is infallible, Gabe. He can do no wrong. 54% of us think he is the best of those four. I think it's that the play calling of LaFleur has been questionable. The play of Jordan Love has been frustrating and inconsistent. And then Jeff Hafley had that gaffe that was the most egregious last week with the coverage late in the game against the Bears. And I think people's trust in them is tanking. Yes or no?
When the last play we saw, and Chewy, you're a big proponent of you're only as good as your last game. Well, you're only as good as your last play. And when Jeff Hafley calls something as egregious as that, I can see how the trust would quickly go away. For Hafley that he's going to have to build back up. What do you mean you can't do that? You tell me you can do that all the time.
You have to do the same thing about Gutekunst. I don't think Jordan, not Jordan, I don't think Morgan's going to be anything special. And certainly Lucas Van Ness was a swing, bada swing and a miss. Okay, so if you want to play that game, let's do that. You know who my number one is?
Who?
Jeff Hafley. Because if you give him more ingredients to make soup, I think he's going to be damn good. I think he's going to be really good. And Goody is to blame with his 48 first-round draft picks that haven't panned out on this defense. Right? I mean, you give most GMs how many first-round draft picks were on this defense? A lot. A lot. So I think if you give Jeff Hafley, and I don't think he's going to be here long enough to reap the benefits of the ingredients in the soup.
Well, but
I love what the guy does, and you can't base it just upon what.
Okay,
you know.
All right, then I'll base it on all the things I talked about earlier this week. This defense doesn't get stops late in games, Chew. This defense just does not get stops late in games. Didn't do it against the Eagles, didn't do it against the Texans, the Jags, the Bears twice, Detroit or Minnesota.
Well, then you can't call him a top 10 defense in the stats.
Well, that's the thing that's confusing.
That he's a top 10 defense.
That's the confusing part, is that they do have a top 10 defense in according to some of those stats, but there are stats out there that tell you that Jordan Love's a top 5 quarterback. Like, no, I don't know if you can just rely completely on stats.
Eye test. But for what this guy's done in his first year, for his first years, converting a 3-4 to a 4-3 and not having the players he really wants, I think he's done a hell of a job. I think he's put
I'm just going to say, so if I'm reading it correctly, Chew, the reason that you trust Hafley the most is because he's been there the shortest amount of time.
Correct.
Well, I mean, was that BC?
Because you're allowed.
Yeah. He always plays the BC card. I never think he's going to.
Only when it's convenient for his argument, though. The other guys you have more of a track record on, so you have been able to see their flaws. You have been able to see their weaknesses. You have been able to see when they...
Sure.
And obviously, we have talked about Hafley's glaring weakness this past weekend against the Bears, but basically you're saying, I'm going to give him more time because he's new in the role. They're switching the defensive scheme, and there's a transition period / learning curve that I am willing to allow.
Yes.
Do you agree
What's really got me down about this offense is how the receivers didn't go anywhere. They didn't get any better.
But how much of that, though, Chew?
In some cases, they got worse.
How much of them not getting better can you attribute to the offense going through Josh Jacobs and Love and his receivers not getting the reps, in-game reps? Because, again, we always talk about the distinction between practice reps and actual in-game. You can't simulate game environments. You can't simulate everything you're facing in that situation. So they have taken less reps this season than they did last season because of the way the offense is orchestrated. How much do you attribute that to?
You know why it goes through Josh Jacobs? Because the receivers aren't good enough.
Well, this is very chicken or egg.
They're not good enough.
You take a look at some of the other teams that are very much run first. If you take a look at Baltimore, as they added a guy who ran for 1,900 yards in Derrick Henry, you know who got better this year? Their top wide receiver, their top young wide receiver in Zay Flowers, got better, went over 1,000 yards this season, improved off of what he did a year ago, even though they were given more touches to Derrick Henry than they had in years past. I'm not expecting all four of them to get better, but I needed one of them to emerge more than Christian Watson did, because I think he's the only one who did.
Because my gut tells me that he was the target. He was the primary target in that pass catching, right? In that pass catching operation.
Yeah.
So he's getting the balls. If they're going to the air, they're going to Flowers. With the Packers, dealer's choice, right? Like, there is some of that as well, guys.
Because,
like,
nobody emerged.
It's like if you get all of the radio reps, you're going to get exponentially better than somebody who is only getting a fourth of the radio reps, right? Like, that's...
But what was the common theme with these coaches that didn't get fired but had crappy years? They all fired someone, right? They fired their D coordinator. They fired their offensive coordinator. They all fired someone. Matt LaFleur doesn't fire people. Would you agree with that? I mean, if I'm sitting here looking at this, I'm like,
Petten and Barry.
That receivers coach should be, I don't know who he is, but he should be a little nervous, right? I mean, wouldn't
taking
you?
Taking out guys that you don't know?
I'm just saying, you know? I look at it
Jason
next year, I'm like, you can't roll. What's his name?
Jason Vrabel.
Is that Vrabel's
brother? He is not related, no.
Yeah. And I knew that was going to be the next question.
It's actually his twin.
That's why I was ready to go with the answer.
But do you want to roll this receiver group back next year without Christian Watson?
So I guess what I'm hearing, Chu, is that you take issue with the majority of people responding to the poll that Goody is the person they trust the most of those four options. You're taking issue with that, right? Mm-hmm. You think we have not been critical enough about the draft picks that have not worked out and the ingredients that he has given Matt LaFleur et al. To do work, to have success. And again, I can't help but think that this is a little bit of recency bias in Goody as being the benefactor of people have lost faith in the other three options, so by default, Goody is the victor.
Now, I think all of them have their flaws. You know, with Hafley, I point to the late game situations, and that's why I think that what happened in against Chicago is not necessarily an aberration. We've seen Matt LaFleur get tight in some of the bigger games, and he almost feels that pressure. Yeah, I mean, to me, Goody certainly doesn't have a perfect track record in the first round. The big detriment I have for Goody is he has drafted a lot of good players. Solid players that you definitely want on your team, that you need to have on your team. He hasn't drafted any superstars, and that's my big problem with Goody.
You None of the guys he's drafted. Inability to identify the superstars, because I can make the argument that we have all of that draft complex going into the draft every year, where people are eyes wide open to who are going to be superstars in the league. Is he overthinking it? Is he saying, "Nah, I want to surprise them by finding a diamond in the rough"? Like I could argue that finding a superstar coming out of college football is the easiest thing to do.
Well, he hasn't done it.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, but how do you explain that? Is he overthinking?
I don't know.
It?
Ron was but Ron was the same way, Jen.
Trying to be too cute.
His.
Didn't draft football players a lot of times.
Well, Ron did tell me that he picked combine guys instead of football players, and you get caught up in that a little bit.
Which is why, you know? Chewy, he probably had – I mean, he had a great track record with guys like you and Edgar and
that's where he made the difference.
Robert Brooks and Antonio Freeman, guys that were stars that eventually became really good players on that Super Bowl team because he was able to hit in the middle part. And maybe Edgerrin Cooper develops into one as good as he has looked now. So that could still potentially come to fruition.
But look, that's why the relative athletic score is a thing, right? Because it sounds to me like we're talking about athletes – and football players, people care about those relative athletic scores. And oftentimes, and I think we have shown year after year, Josh, correct me if I'm wrong, you're kind of the draft expert here on the program. Doesn't Goody really subscribe to the RAS?
Yeah, I mean, but there's also other teams that are extremely successful that do it and just seem to draft better. Like the Eagles are very much, they look for the athletic monsters. There's the reason there's a lot of, like, honestly, frankly, a lot of the best teams in the league, you can all look and they all seem to fit the same metrics. The difference is if you don't have high picks and you don't have the coaching staff to develop them, like the defensive line coaches the past two haven't done a damn thing to help those guys out up front. Not one single person has played better than you think they should.
That's the thing with like someone like Zach Tom, right? Yeah, Goody gets credit for that, but you know who else gets credit? The O-line coach that develops them. Because if Zach Tom went to 12 other teams, he might have sucked. If I didn't have Andy Reid, I would have played 2 years, 3 years. It was in there, but some coaches just don't know how to get it out of you. You know? That's why Andy Reid's a great coach. He knows how to get it out of you.
So do you think, Chewy...
I'll tell you this, and I'll say it again. There's a lot of bad coaches in the NFL. There's a lot of bad. It's probably a 50-50 split.
So do you think the lack of developing a star, especially at a pass catcher position, is more on the coaching staff than it is on Brian Gutekunst in the front office?
Say that one more time, Gabe.
Do you think it's more of an indictment on LaFleur and the staff or Gutekunst on the front office that they haven't developed a stud wide receiver or pass catcher?
Since what, Davante Adams?
Yeah, since Davante. Really, in Goody's, in the entire Goody tenure, they haven't developed. I mean, they drafted MVS, they drafted Equanimeous St. Brown, the guy who lasted not even 2 years that I'm blanking on, that was even a higher draft pick. That's the one.
Amari Cooper. Amari Rodgers.
I would have loved Amari Cooper.
I'm neck
but
deep.
But I mean, even Jaden, you know, even Jaden Reed, you know. I thought he was good. I don't know. I didn't know if he's going to be a Randall Cobb or Devontae, but the fact that now that everyone knows he can't get open against man,
mm-hmm.
well, that explains a lot of things. You know, because Gabe, it's like a pitcher in baseball, you know? A pitcher early on in his career going against batters that have not seen him,
mm-hmm.
you know, struggle to hit him, and then they figure him out and they're like, oh, this guy gets tagged and then he's gone. It's kind of the same thing here, you know?
I'm not willing to write off any of the receivers yet. I am willing to say that none of them will be the number one on this team. That's what this season has taught me. That's what this season has shown me. But I'm not willing to write any of them off as being incredibly high production for the Green Bay Packers offense. We have to take a break. We have to get to top 8 at 8 right after this. Lots of reaction rolling in on this topic. Again, Homer put a poll out last night asking who you trust the most, Goody, LaFleur, Love, or Halfley. Love and Halfley last. LaFleur in the middle, Goody running away with it at 54% at last check. My reaction is Goody's running away with it because people have lost faith recently in the other three. It's sort of a win by default. Your reaction, let us know, 800-990-3776. That's the Carbless talk and text line. Sorry, Joshy, I wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It is ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee. Deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music, so you will enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your reservations at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh?
One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey?
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
The food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Chicken!
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we got, Gabe?
A list of 8 things in front of me. You and Chew guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, we open it up to the fans. 800-990-3776 on the Carbless talk and text line. Whoever gets the last one on the list wins the ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. Simple list today. With us getting ready for the postseason, I am looking for the last 8 Packers to score a touchdown in the playoffs. Last 8 Packers to score a touchdown in the playoffs.
Oof. Did Aaron Jones score a touchdown last year in the playoffs? Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones scored 3 touchdowns last year in the playoffs, perfect. All against the Dallas Cowboys. He is number 4 on the list.
Romeo Doubs.
Scored one against the Cowboys as well. He's number 3.
Wait, hold on. Aaron Jones was number 4 on the list with 3 touchdowns last year?
Yes.
So that is 3 all he has in the postseason?
No, I'm looking for the last 8 who have scored a touchdown in the playoffs.
Oh.
So he scored 3 times, so he's one of the last ones to score, but he scored 3 times against the Cowboys.
And then they played a second game.
Mm-hmm.
Forgot about that game.
Uh-huh.
I actually was like, wasn't that the last time they played? But Joshy, to your point, when you win in the playoffs, they let you play again, it turns out. Wow. Okay. Devontae?
Devontae Adams is number 9 on the list.
Oh, come on. Chewy, you're going to have to run the table here.
Jaden Reed.
Has not scored a touchdown in his postseason career.
Wow.
I really thought you guys would do better than this. Apparently, remembering what happened last year in the playoffs, just zero memory of what happened last year.
To be fair, I forgot a whole game that took place in the playoffs, so.
Woof, woof, woof. There's your sound effect.
A big dog. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, 800-990-3776. That's our Carbless talk and text line, and that is how you can complete our top 8 at 8 list. Do you want to hand out mulligans? Do you want us to?
It's up to you guys.
Is there a pick 6 in the playoffs?
Might have been.
Ah.
Josh, do you want to play or not?
Jen, you
Xavier McKinney.
You might.
Xavier McKinney was not on the team.
Jen, you might have been on the sidecast with Gabe and I
when it happened.
Wow, I don't remember
what's a
that at all.
Don't worry
something
about
that
it.
We don't what's ask you to do because we know you'd say no.
Okay.
Because you, well, no, he might say yes, but then he'd fall asleep during it.
800-990-3776. Ron and the Key weighing in as he so often does. Next week, Gabe's top eight fingers.
Yeah, but there's 10.
I just thought this would be easy. You know, the Packers, they scored a bunch of points against the Cowboys. A lot of touchdowns scored.
The good news is we have loyal listeners who are way smarter than we are. 800-990-3776. Liz is more. That's our Carbless Talk and Text line. Let's go out to the Talk and Text line. Tim in West Bend, you are first on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Christian Watson.
Christian Watson has not scored a postseason touchdown in his Packers career.
God bless America. Ooh. Brady in West Bend. Oh, a little West Bend action this morning. You're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Yeah, Darnell Savage.
Darnell Savage had the pick 6 against the Dallas Cowboys. He is number 6 on the list.
I believe Dontavian Wicks scored one.
Also scored one against the Cowboys. He's number 7. So right now we have Romeo Doubs at 3, Aaron Jones at 4, Savage at 6, Wicks at 7. We need 1, 2, 5, and 8.
Tucker Kraft.
Tucker Kraft scored a touchdown against the San Francisco 49ers. He's number 1 on the list.
My guy. Got to get him involved in the offense this weekend. Keep going, Brady.
I think Cole Melton scored one.
Also okay. Against the San Francisco 49ers. Wow. He's number 2
now
on
Brady's
the list.
Now Brady's cheating, unfortunately, gang. I mean, you get to keep going because they can't prove it.
That chuckle he had.
How many do I need?
Okay, you already know the list. You don't need to keep pretending here.
Did someone say Aaron Jones?
No, I don't know if Jordan Love ran one in. I'm not sure.
Jordan Love is not on the list. All
you
right.
Guys made him panic and he bowed out.
We do got have hot. Just 2 left on the list. We have number 5 and number 8, the last 8 Packers to score a touchdown in the playoffs.
Well, the good news is we have lots of loyal listeners who are lined up to play top 8 at 8. Dave in Edgerton is up next. Dave, can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Luke Musgrave.
Luke Musgrave scored against the Cowboys last year. He is number 5, leaving just number 8.
Maybe Toure.
Whoa.
Mari Toure.
That is incorrect.
Forgot about him.
Is he still on the team?
No.
He's
where
not.
Is he? Some practice squad somewhere?
Probably.
Europe? Canada? I don't know.
Yeah. Once the Packers released him, I kind of lost track.
Peter in Texas, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Oh, I had Musgrave, so I think we got to go back to the Packers-Niners game from whatever year that was, 2021. And let's see, Mercedes Lewis, he fumbled. He didn't score, but let's say it.
He did not score. He did fumble in that game. That is incorrect.
So can you reset the list for me?
Tucker Kraft is 1, Bo Melton is 2, Romeo Doubs 3, Aaron Jones 4, Lucas Musgrave 5, Darnell Savage is 6, and Dontavian Wicks is 7.
Okay. 800-990-3776. That's our carb list, talk, and text line. Liz is more. Let's go out to Dumpy in West Bend. Good morning, Dumpster.
Good morning. Hey, Chewy, I'm going to give you to the end of the weekend to watch the entire movie of Old School.
Or what?
No, because...
Or I won't listen.
Because technically Groundhog Day is on the list before that because they said that's my life and I refuse to watch it. Which I heard is another good movie, but I don't want to watch it.
All right, let's move on here.
What do you got, Dumpy?
Shut up, Josh.
Jair Alexander.
Incorrect.
Jair.
Justin in Lake Geneva, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Is it A.J. Dillon?
A.J. Dillon scored the lone touchdown for the Packers in 2021's loss to the San Francisco 49ers. He is number 8 on the list.
All right, Justin in Lake Geneva, you're our big winner this morning, stealing it from Brady, who really had a good handle on it earlier.
We rattled him. We did. I wish I said I felt bad.
No, I don't. What are we watching? Old Packers? What is this? Old Packers?
No, we don't need to watch that. We can turn the channel.
Oh, you know what it was?
I mean, I don't care. I mean,
what is it?
We don't need to talk about it, Chew.
How old? How old?
Jerry Rice fumbled in that game, all right? That should have never happened. Play should have never happened. Jerry Rice fumbled.
I see it. I see it.
Jerry Rice fumbled.
I see it. Okay, we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this. Stick around.
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune into Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, who was a 1995 UCLA Hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer some of your questions as well. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District right now, bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What we need is a chart. Mm-hmm. And every week, we take the shirtless picture of Chew, and we move that to wherever the prediction is of how many wins that they
six,
have.
Eight. Six.
Seven.
Seven. I think that's how it goes now, right?
Eight, and they six, lost, and he's 7-5-3-0-9
on 94.5 ESPN.
Most important Packers player this weekend in the game against the Eagles. My gut tells me Josh Jacobs is going to be the most important. But I said this last night on Weekly Wager, guys. I got this argument happening on my shoulders. Angel, devil sort of thing. Josh Jacobs is going to run the ball a lot, right? But the Eagles are going to try to stop it. They're going to load the box. Well, then somebody else needs to emerge as an offensive weapon for Jordan Love and company in order for Josh Jacobs to be effective, in order for the offense to move the chains. So Chew, is there a wide receiver that you think is going to be the most important player? Christian Watson is out. Is it Jaden Reed? Is it Romeo Doubs? Is it Devontae Wicks? Is it somebody else that you think? Is it, as we have talked about, is it Tucker Kraft? Who else on the offense can emerge, needs to emerge, in order for them to make this a fight, in order for to put them in a position to win the game?
Two C players have to play like A players in order for them to win the game.
Two C players.
Man, making that, that's a big jump, isn't it, Chew? C to A?
Yep.
Not just B players?
It's got to be a Malik Heath. It's got to be a Bo Melton. It has to be a
Carrington Valentine.
Carrington on the other side Valentine. Of the ball. Yeah. Two of those players have to, Keyshawn Nixon punt return, a kickoff return. It's something goofy because if they just trade punches, line up, Philly's got more talent than this team does. So, and that's how you win championships. A's got to play like A's. B's got to play like B's, but you need C players to play like B or A.
I don't love that you called two starters on defense C players. I don't love that we are in that space right now in Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine, right? As he's talking about people that need to play above their level, above their pay grade, if you will. Gabe? Go ahead, Chew.
I just don't think it's going to be someone obvious. You know what I mean? And I think they're going to go into this game saying, hey, they go as Josh Jacobs go. Let's make them throw the ball. They're without their deep threat. We can do some things. So I just don't think it's going to be someone obvious that lights it up.
I think it's obvious. It's to me, it's Jordan Love. I mean, so often in playoff games, it comes down to, well, how'd your quarterback play? And if Jordan Love doesn't have a good game, if he doesn't play better than he has the last 2 weeks, the Packers don't have a chance. They're not going to win. If he plays the way he did and turns the ball over like he did against the Eagles the first time around, I don't see that working out for the Green Bay Packers this time around. It's simple. Your quarterback needs to play like an A player. It starts and ends there for me. If he plays like an A player, the Packers are going to have a really good chance to win this
game. Okay, but to dovetail it to what Chewy and I were saying, in order for him to play well, he needs somebody to step up. He needs a receiver, a pass catcher to step up. He can't just do it on it. You know, remember the old Giselle line? My husband can't throw the ball to himself. He needs somebody to step up. How about Romeo Doubs? How do we feel about Romeo Doubs being the guy who can stretch the field? He is quick.
Nope. I mean,
third down conversion?
Yeah. Could he step up? Yes. Have a big, I mean, he stepped up, had a huge game last year against the Cowboys. Do I think he can be the guy to stretch the field? But I feel as good about him stretching the field as I do Chewy stretching the field right now.
Okay, that's unnecessary.
What the? I took out Evan Free of this week,
honestly,
and you're taking me out?
Unnecessary, Chewy.
I didn't take you out. I said you're just as likely to stretch
the
field right now.
An insinuation of
I was taking out Romeo Doubs' speed, if anything.
How's your sack?
Mine?
Yeah, your Bruce's sack.
Oh, I thought you were talking the other one.
That's why I said it that way. I think it's Luke Musgrave, and I think it's Edgerrin Cooper. I think Luke Musgrave is a real X factor, stretched the field, hit the seam, fastest guy last year at training camp. I think if he can one or two catches, stretch the field, and I mean, I can't imagine the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be thinking, we need to make sure we have a plan for Luke Musgrave, seeing as he's caught like two passes in the past year. And then Edgerrin Cooper, I mean, when was the last time you saw a guy make run stops like him?
Yeah, it's impressive.
There's nobody I can remember. Maybe A.J. Hawk as a rookie or very young player.
This is very specific. But Clay Matthews in 14, when they moved him to inside linebacker because they were so thin at that position. I think that's the last time.
So a decade.
Yeah, 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 correct. Yeah.
Speaking of Goody, did he choke on Cooper DeJean?
You're saying should they have gotten him? Should they have taken him?
Yeah.
Who do we say? They took Jordan Morgan?
Took Jordan Morgan in the first round. That's what they had to do.
TBD on Jordan Morgan. We don't know if he's going to be.
DeJean went in the second round. You could have traded up for him. But Edgerrin Cooper, I think we're pretty happy with that pick.
It would have been nice to have both, right?
Hey, we were saying it on the broadcast. Me and Gabe and Strolf were like, hey, why not? Do it. And then when it was time to, you got all these assets, go get them. You'd feel a lot better headed into this week with Cooper DeJean as well as he played. And wasn't Quinyon Mitchell even available himself there?
Yeah, they would have had to go up again to get him, right? But yes, two defensive backs that we really liked.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And look, this is why I said earlier when we were talking about Goody, and if you missed any of that conversation, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand. When we were talking about Goody and people's confidence level in him, sometimes I wonder if he overthinks it. Sometimes I wonder if he hears all of the clamoring, all of the people saying, Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, and he goes, nah, I got something y'all will love, right?
Mitchell went 22, so the Packers never had a chance at him. The Packers took 25 in Jordan Morgan.
Let me ask you this, though. Did Lucas Van Ness have anything to do with that?
Well, because the Packers had selected so many defensive players in a row, he's like,
no,
okay,
no,
I got to get an offensive player.
I screwed up on him. This guy might be a little inflated. You think that scared him away?
No.
Because I tell you what,
he's from Georgia
a good
players.
Player. He's a good player, and I think he's going to be really good. I don't know. I just see that as a swing and a miss.
Cooper
DeJean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with where they went to school. I think it was Goody marrying his needs to a guy he thought had high upside. They didn't trust the left tackle at the time. They were trying to come up with a contingency plan and have depth. They felt good about their cornerback depth. Now we don't feel as good about it. But guys grew there. Keyshawn Nixon, being as good as he's been, is amazing. I thought they were insane for paying him all that much money and relying on him the way he did.
Yeah.
And he moved him outside. And he's not like... You don't notice him most of the time, which is a great thing to notice at a cornerback position. And I think also it took a while, but Carrington Valentine's came along. I think you're actually kind of discrediting him and calling him just a C player. I think he's a little better than that. I think he's played at his heights like a B plus type player.
But he still needs to play like an A player in this game in order for them to have a shot at winning. Folks are weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text line. And it just jumped on me. God bless America. All right, you guys are forgetting about Wix. If he makes catches, he is a deep threat. That from Mario in the 262. Craig in the 443 says Malik Heath and Luke Musgrave on offense. Quay, Coop, and Evan on defense. Brady in the 262 says Wix has to be the guy. He gets open the most. He cannot have the drop hiccups that he has had at times. And then Sam weighed in saying, what about when Desmond Bishop was on the team? Is that comparable to what you're seeing from Cooper now?
Cooper's way, his high end's way higher.
Yeah, because he's a lot faster.
Yes.
Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, Desmond Bishop can lay the wood. He wasn't getting up to the line of scrimmage the way that he was. Quickly on Dontavian Wicks, who I have been very high on throughout the course of the year. And I'm not giving up on him. His average is 10.6, Chew. His average is 10.6. I don't think he's the deep threat you're looking at for stretching the field.
Okay, but no. To that point, and I want to bring this up because SB Nation did do an article on people to watch in this playoff, and they did count Romeo Doubs as the guy to watch. It says, Jaden Reed has been Jordan Love's most reliable deep target, catching 12 of 15 deep passes for 478 yards and a touchdown. And this is after Christian Watson, right? Christian Watson is out now, so we are looking at who is next on the depth chart as far as a deep threat. But Romeo Doubs is Love's second best vertical threat. He has five deep catches for 144 yards and a touchdown, and multiple examples of him making cooking cornerbacks through expanded routes. I think it has to be somebody like that who we haven't seen a lot of success from, again, in part because of the way they're distributing the football, in part because of the way the offense is running through Josh Jacobs. I'm going to lock in on Romeo Doubs as having to be the guy to elevate his play in order for the Packers to win the game this weekend. 800-990-3776. Give us yours. It can be offense and defense. Give us the players who have to elevate this weekend who you think could be the difference in the Packers walking out of there with a victory or not. We'll take a break. Roll on right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
TBD.
No, not how this
attaboy.
Works.
Attaboy.
That's not how any of this
That's
works.
That's how you make content.
What do you mean? That's how it works for him.
What's TBD mean?
To be determined.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
To be dumb.
Did you hear him say to be dumb?
To be dumb. Did Joshy say that?
He did.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go. Put your best face on. Everybody pretend you know this song. Everybody come hang.
I appreciate the folks weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page asking why I am not at College Game Day today and tomorrow. We are sending a small crew because the guys have to do that jump again. You know, the one we did from Notre Dame to Columbus?
Mm-hmm.
The guys have to do the jump again tonight. So they just pared down the crew. And I will have two pieces. I will have a piece this evening, and I will have a piece tomorrow airing on the show. But my buddy Reese Davis is going to present them. So good for me. Lucky me.
Do you have plans to watch the games then?
Kick
back?
Be a Potawatomi. Yeah. Maybe you've heard of them.
Once or twice.
So I appreciate folks who are asking. Somebody said, Jen got the shaft. I was like, nah, it's not exactly how it worked. Jen got a couple of days at home, which this time of year is lovely. We are asking you this morning, who do you need to see step up this weekend for the Packers to get the victory over the Eagles? Just moments ago, ESPN's panel on Get Up was picking the games. Every single one picked the Eagles to win. Take it for what it's worth. David weighing in the 608, he says, Bo Melton and Javon Bullard. Who's the safety, guys? Help me out. Who's the safety that played last year that we were talking about? Last week?
Oh,
Ketana
Oladapo?
Oladapo. What did you say, Chew?
Adrian Amos.
Oh, I thought he said no.
Who is a safety we talked about earlier this week? In his defense, it is a safety we talked about earlier this week.
I thought he said Nostradamus. And I was like, who? No.
Oladapo. Doesn't he play for Indiana?
Okay. And that's your NBA update for the day, folks, here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. you guys said he was playing a lot of snaps.
Yeah, he played a good chunk of snaps at safety because you had Evan Williams out of the game. Hopefully Williams is able to play this week. And again, that just makes your defensive backfield deeper because they like to drop down Javon Bullard into that slot when they can.
Yes. Do you think that that will happen again this week? Do you think Williams will be limited? Do you think we will see Oladapo out there in the
Maybe he plays defense? Some. I think Williams should be ready to go. I mean, I think he was limited yesterday, but I think that he's going to be ready to go. I just thought that a lot of the guys that were banged up didn't play last week to make sure that they would be healthy for this game coming up on Sunday.
Justin weighing in saying, if they stop Barkley and force Hurts to throw, they have a chance. Eagles have weapons everywhere, but Hurts hasn't had to throw much this year, so it is still your best shot at a win. Eagles are 31st in passing, so I would say Cooper has to be the Saquon stopper. That's a lot of optimism. Josh in Heartland is volunteering Eric Stokes as the guy who needs to be the difference maker. He says he's been the fourth highest rated cornerback, according to Pro Football Focus, since week 11. And as you know, that surprised the hell out of me when we revealed that earlier this week. Dumpy wants to know if there are any two tight end sets from the 90s that Chewy can share quickly with LaFleur. There are a lot of people saying they would like to see them run some two tight end sets. Chew, do you think that would be a recipe for success?
It'd give you a good run-pass option, depending on what the defense does. If they bring a nickel against bigs, you run, and if they keep it big, then you throw. So, but and he's been doing some of that the last couple weeks with Musgrave back. So, whoa,
aggressive,
very
little despot back there.
You didn't like what I said, Joshy?
No. He was like,
first game, then you?
You're lulling me to
sleep. I didn't take you out. I took out Romeo Dobbs's speed.
Hey, if you need to apologize, just show him your boobs.
Yes, thank you.
Just show him your boobs. You guys told me.
I'm good.
That's how it works. You need to get something done? Whip them out. Will the and Tosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee.